We are continuing our study of God's plan to grow the church His way. And we continue to look at the way that we need to exalt Jesus. And step 3C, as we consider exalting Jesus, is to exalt Jesus' doctrine. Now, there are many things about Jesus that must be exalted. So let's continue with looking at His doctrine. We looked at His sacrifice last week. And the whole point of His sacrifice was for Him to bring us the New Testament. As He introduced the Lord's Supper, He said, as He gave them the cup, "This is the New Testament in My blood. It's a new covenant. It's His will." And that will went into effect at His death. So we need to understand how important His doctrine is. John 12, the scripture that was read a few moments ago. I want to go back to verse 44 and catch a few verses in there that go along with that. Jesus cried and said, "He that believes on Me believes not on Me, but on Him that sent Me." So Jesus said, it's not just a matter of believing Me. If you believe in Me, then you're believing in the One that sent Me here. Jesus didn't come of His own accord. "And he that sees Me sees Him that sent Me." Verse 46, He says, "I am come of light into the world, that whoever believes on Me should not abide in darkness." Sometimes we continue to abide in darkness despite the fact that Jesus came to bring light. "And if any man hear My words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects Me and receives not My words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of Myself, but the Father which sent Me, He gave Me a commandment, which I should say, or what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto Me, so I speak." So Jesus makes it clear to us that He wasn't bringing this by Himself. This wasn't His own idea. This is God's idea. And these words that He's speaking, His doctrine, what He teaches us, is going to be the thing that judges us. When we realize that, when we really get that through our head, then we'll realize how important it is to do things in the church the way Jesus said do it. And we'll quit all this, "Well, you know, but God didn't say not to," nonsense. We'll do what Jesus said to do and leave the rest out of it. And we won't quibble about, "Well, but I don't like that." Or, "It's a different age now. That was good for back then, but Jesus didn't know what it was going to be like to live in the 21st century." No, it doesn't matter how the world has changed. His Word will never change. And He said that. His Word, His commandments, His doctrine does not change just because we live in America instead of Judea. Or because we live in the 21st century instead of the 1st century. And that doesn't change His commandments. So we need to understand that from the get-go. We're going to move quickly this morning because it's already 20 till. Somebody started the announcements late this morning. I don't know who did that. And then they went so long in the announcements, kept talking about it. You know how that is when people do that? We must exalt Jesus' doctrine, first of all, because it is from heaven. If it was just a doctrine that somebody on earth came up with, then it wouldn't have any more merit than any doctrine that somebody else on earth came up with. I could come up with a doctrine just as good as the one you could come up with, and you could come up with one that was just as good as the fellow down the road, and he could come up with one just as good as mine. If we were just coming up with our own doctrine, then we could all come up with one that we liked better than everybody else's. And everyone would have their own doctrine then. But Jesus didn't just come up with this on his own. He brought his doctrine from heaven. And we saw that a little bit in the passage in John 12, but he says it as well in John chapter 7, verses 16 through 18. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks the glory, his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." You know, when a man makes up a doctrine, he makes up a doctrine that's going to serve him in some way. And we see that with all of the man-made doctrines that are out there. It always serves the person who made the doctrine in some way. I remember reading about the religion of Islam and the Prophet Muhammad who began that religion. And he wrote these oracles, the Quran, that were messages from God. And he handed them out. And all of them tended to promote his leadership and promoted him to be greater than everyone else. And we said, well, Jesus is greater than everyone else in the Christian religion. That's true. But he didn't exalt himself. He pointed out that he was exalting God and he was doing the will of God. But as things went along, one of the things that Muhammad had written in there was that none of the Muslim men could have more than two wives. And they could have those two wives, but they had to treat both of them equally. And whatever one got, the other one got. I guess that harkens back to Jacob with Leah and Rachel, you know, and he had the two wives. He said, but you know, you treat them fair and so on and so forth. Well then, lo and behold, after a few years, somebody who had read that particular passage looked up and said, "Muhammad, you've got about five or six wives." So suddenly he got a brand new revelation. And this brand new revelation pointed out, well, my prophet Muhammad can have more than two. See, when man comes up with their own doctrine, that doctrine serves them. Muhammad taught his followers to go out and fight and die for him so he wouldn't have to. Jesus' doctrine that he brought came from heaven, and it was very different. He didn't teach his disciples to go out and fight and die for him. He came and died for them. That's a big difference. Most of these folks that come up with a doctrine, they're not about to die for it. They might like it if you die for it, but they don't want to die for it. They want to keep on living so they can enjoy the fruits of it. So Jesus' doctrine from heaven, he was bringing the glory of God. He was trying to glorify God by what he did. And he never sought to glorify himself. I find it interesting in Mark when the man we often refer to as the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher," or "Good master, what thing could I do to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "Why are you calling me good? There's no one good but God." And even though he was God, even though he was the Son of God, even though he was God in the flesh, he wanted to remind this fellow who didn't know that, who didn't recognize him as the Son of God, but was giving him that kind of a title, good teacher. He wanted to remind this man, you think, you're here you are, you're applying a title to me as you think I'm a man, and you're trying to applying a title to me that belongs to God. So we want to continue to remember that Jesus' doctrine is from heaven and it glorifies God. Whatever we do, if it's not glorifying God, then it's not something we need to be doing. If we're not doing it to glorify God, we don't get carried away with that. I know, we have normal things that we do. We eat, we sleep, we have to go to the bathroom, we have to exercise or something. They're those basic needs of life. And I understand that. We don't want to get all crossways on some of that kind of thing. You're not worshiping God while you're sleeping or something like that. But we need to understand that our purpose in life as a follower of Christ is to do what Christ did. And one of the main things He did was to bring glory to God. And by following His teaching and His doctrine, we're going to do that. The good works that we do aren't going to be done for us to be seen and for us to get glory and praise. They're going to be done so that people will glorify God. Everything is going to point in that direction because that is our purpose in life. 1 Timothy 6:3-5, you might write that down as well. And that passage also talks about the importance of the words of Jesus Christ and His doctrine. Secondly, we must exalt Jesus' doctrine because He has all authority and power. Sometimes there are two different groups vying for power, kind of like Alabama and Texas are in the NCAA football championship. But sometimes there are two different groups, and you can cheer for one or cheer for the other. And you can hope one wins or hope the other wins. We have two different political parties, and some people vote for one and some people vote for other, and they're kind of against each other, but they're kind of evenly matched, and sometimes one wins and sometimes the other wins. But when it comes to doctrine, there's not a choice between two. Jesus has all the authority. He has all the power. There's nobody else to vote for. He's it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28-29. Came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as we often refer to it. The people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I understand that because I know sometimes there are things in the Scriptures that I don't understand, and so I'm kind of like, well, it might be this or it might be that, and I'm not sure. There wasn't a Scripture in the Bible that Jesus felt that way about because He helped write all of them. He helped to be there as part of the inspiration for each and every one of those Scriptures, and He knew exactly what it meant. No wonder He could speak with authority. There was no doubt. The scribes, of course, like us, they knew some things about the Scriptures, but there were other things that they might not have understood very well. They might have needed some help understanding, and some things that different ones disagreed about. But Jesus had all authority and all power. And He showed that in the way that He taught, and He showed that in His doctrine. His doctrine was powerful. And it was authoritative. Mark 1:22 also says the same thing. Mark 1:27 talks about Him using His authority. Even they were shocked at this doctrine because He even had authority to cast out demons. Luke 4:32, they were astonished at His doctrine because His word was with power. There was power behind what He had to say. And of course in Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority, all power is given to Me in heaven and on earth. Sometimes people come and tell you things that they don't have the authority to tell you. You ever had somebody tell you that? I know at one time when Dawn was working at Piggly Wiggly, she had a couple of different managers. There was a manager over the cashiers, and then there was an assistant manager, and then there was the big manager, and so sometimes one person would say one thing and another person would say something else, and said, well, wait a minute, which one has the authority here? Well, with Jesus we know He has the authority, but sometimes people try to say things that are contrary to his authority. Often you'll run into times where somebody tells you, it's okay, you go ahead and do this, but they don't have the authority to tell you that. When you go to get your newspaper out of the paper rack, it's okay to get two or three, everybody does it. They don't have the authority to tell you that. It says right there on the paper rack, you put in this much for a paper, not for three papers. One of the ladies that ran the paper route, she told me one day, she said she caught a fella. He was put in the money for one paper and took out two papers. She said, that's my money you're stealing. He said, oh, no, I just got two papers. She said, what are you going to do with those two papers? He said, well, I'm going to take this, I'm going to read one, and I'm going to take the other one to church. I'm going to steal a paper and take it to church? Something's wrong. See, what kind of authority are we living by? See, we let people tell us all kinds of things and we think that's okay. Well, it's okay to cheat on your taxes. Nobody will ever know. It's all right. Everybody does it. See, we use this kind of thinking sometimes and we allow people to convince us of these things. And that's not the case. And in religion, people do the same thing. Well, I know the Bible says that, but it'd be all right if we do it this other way. It won't hurt anything. That was written a long time ago. Things are different now. We're going to do it this other way. They don't have the authority to tell you to do it some way different than what Jesus said. He has all authority and all power. You can't change what he said because you don't have the authority to change what he said. Remember, he brought a testament, a will, and he signed that will in his own blood when he died. When somebody has written a will, nobody else on earth has the authority to change it. Now, sometimes the way things are now, judges all over the place are striking this down and doing this and that and the other thing, contrary to what somebody said in their will. But they don't have the authority to do it because the person who made the will is the one who has all authority to do with their things what they say to do with it. We can't just do whatever we want to do because Jesus has all authority. And that's why we need to exalt His doctrine. These churches all over the place, they got every doctrine they can think of. But they need Jesus' doctrine because that's the one that He's going to judge us by in the last day. Third, we need to exalt Jesus' doctrine because it is essential for growth and salvation. That's a pretty important reason. It's essential. In order for us to grow, in order for us to be saved, there's not another doctrine that will accomplish that task. Oh, there are lots of men's doctrines out there. Just say this prayer after me and you'll get Christian. You'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. Where do you find that in the Bible? Jesus never told anybody that. Jesus never left that for the apostles to teach to anybody. They never taught that. Where do they get that? Not Jesus' doctrine. Come down and tarry for the Holy Ghost. Or have a religious experience and share that religious experience. Where is that written? Not in Jesus' doctrine. We've got to follow His doctrine because it is essential for our growth and salvation. Notice Acts 13 and verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This was right after Paul had struck Bar-Jesus, or Elymas, the sorcerer who was trying to stop Sergius Paulus from believing. When he saw that, he believed the doctrine then because he saw that the doctrine came with some power. And he didn't doubt it anymore. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You think he just threw that in there because he needed another phrase? No, he put that in there because it was important. 1 Timothy 4:16, he tells Timothy to take heed to himself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. the doctrine is important because it's what's going to help save us. The doctrine is what teaches us about faith and grace and obedience. The doctrine is what teaches us about how to organize the church and how to worship God and how to live our lives even. That's part of Jesus' doctrine. That's important. We can't change it. The devil's been in the habit of changing it since the beginning. God said, don't eat of that tree or you will surely die. The devil said, you will not surely die. Just added one little word. No big deal. Just three little letters. What could that hurt? We're still suffering today because they listened to the devil's doctrine instead of God's doctrine way back there in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And people still haven't learned the lesson. When God has doctrine, you better listen to that doctrine and not any other doctrine. Fourth, we must exalt Jesus' doctrine because it is not a secret. Sometimes it seems like we think that there's some secret about the Bible. We're not supposed to tell anybody else. It's kind of like we keep it to ourselves. And we're going to surprise them with it on the Day of Judgment or something. See, you should have known about this. That's not right. It's not a secret. Christ never intended it to be a secret. He intended for it to be told to the whole world. We are exhorted on several occasions to keep the faith. But we're never exhorted to keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to share our faith with others. John chapter 18, verses 19 through 21, we see that from the beginning, Jesus didn't keep his teachings a secret. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. And in secret, have I said nothing? Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. They know what I said. You see, one of the things about these cults is they have all these secrets. Always keeping secrets. Jesus never kept secrets. He openly taught. He taught in the marketplace. He taught in the temple. He taught on the side of a hill. He taught in people's houses. He taught in the street, walking down the road. Everywhere he went, anywhere he went, he was teaching, and openly. So he said, just ask anybody. They know what I said. I didn't say it in secret. We need to learn that lesson. Because sometimes we act like it's a big secret. And we need to quit that. We need to exalt Jesus' doctrine and make it openly known. And if some people don't like it, that's their prerogative to not like it. Not everybody will like it. Not everybody has to like it. They only have to like it and obey it if they want to go to heaven. It's their choice. Jump out in 1 Corinthians. Paul gave them a choice. Am I going to come to you in love or am I going to come to you with the rod? It's your choice. Take your pick. Well, we've got a choice too. Are we going to obey Jesus and go to heaven or are we going to neglect it and be lost? It's our choice. He is not going to make anybody go to heaven that doesn't want to be there. Won't do it. Unfortunately, there probably will be several people going to hell who don't want to be there. However many billions there are that go there, not a one of them is going to want to be there. But they should have acted like they didn't want to be there when they were alive and had the chance. And we need to do the same. But we need to be sharing the doctrine. And then finally, number five, we must exalt Jesus' doctrine because other teaching is destructive. sometimes we get the idea, that's just a harmless little doctrine that, it doesn't matter. No, other doctrine is destructive. Whenever there is false doctrine, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Don was telling me about somebody the other day who, contrary to what Jesus says about there not being marriage in heaven, was teaching that people get to stay married all through eternity in heaven. And they said, that's after heaven. But you know what? That's going to cause people to live differently and act differently here on earth. And any doctrine we have, we're going to wind up with it leading us to some things that are going to cause us to live wrong. When we get our doctrine messed up, it's not long before our lives follow. We need to be sure that we understand that other teaching contrary to the doctrine that Jesus taught, is going to be destructive. It may not be destructive today, and it may not be destructive tomorrow, but it's going to plant a destructive seed that's going to grow. And eventually, it will destroy. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12. They finally understood after he told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they finally understood that he wasn't talking about the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Both of them. Both those extremes. The Pharisees who bound things that God hadn't bound, the Sadducees who ignored things that God had said. Either way, they were wrong and it caused problems. Romans 16, 17 and 18, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Have you ever noticed that when you hang around somebody, the way that they think rubs off on you and you start to think that way too? If you spend all your time hanging around with people who think the wrong things doctrinally, religiously, those wrong thoughts are going to rub off on you and you're going to start thinking some of those wrong things. I have known of preachers who quit preaching and left the church and went to preaching for a denomination because they spent all their time hanging out with denominational preachers and listening to their way of thinking about things instead of listening to what the Bible says about how to think about things. And it corrupted them. And it'll happen to us as Christians if we aren't careful. We've got to avoid them if they're teaching those false doctrines. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4. Again, Paul tells Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine and not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies that don't edify. Don't get involved in those things. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 tells us that there are those who are going to get so wrapped up that they won't listen to sound doctrine anymore. Revelation 2, 14 through 16 talks about some of the things that Christ had against that particular congregation because they had some that held the doctrine of Balaam and some that held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans instead of the doctrine of Christ. They're the wrong doctrines that will destroy us. We need to exalt Jesus' doctrine because it's from heaven. Because He has all authority. Because it is essential for our growth and salvation. Because it's not a secret. And because other doctrines, other teaching is destructive. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you've been carried away with some other wind of doctrine other than Jesus. You need to repent of that and turn back to Him and stick with Him. If you're here and you have a need to respond because you're not a Christian, you've never obeyed His doctrine. You need to obey His doctrine. It's the only one that can save you and help you to grow. No man's doctrine can do that. Because no man died for you. No man rose for you. No man went to heaven to prepare a place for you. Only Jesus Christ. We've got to follow Him. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.